Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, film guardians, crypto keepers, gym lovers, and rock fans. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. I am your host, Mary Brown, and I'm really excited about the show today and the new year. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday. Today I have something really special for you. I'm going to share an excerpt of an interview that I did with authors Alberto Osla and Lucas Sosa about their new book that just came out in December, and it's an illustrated version of that hermetic classic, The Kabbalion. And they were so much fun to talk to, but the whole interview was like 46 minutes, so it's a little bit long. We did it via Zoom, and that is going to premiere right at the end of this show on my YouTube channel, Pterodactyl Experience. So you go over to YouTube, hit the little at sign to Taro, T-A-R-O-T-D-A-C-T-Y-L, Dactyl Experience. And that full-length unedited video, mostly unedited, I put in the logo for the show at the beginning and the end. That will premiere right after the show ends on YouTube. So you go over there and you'll see the whole interview. It was really fascinating, and we really, got into the nooks and crannies of this whole hermetic thing. And I think you'll all find that very interesting. And keeping with the theme of hermetics today, our crystal of the month is emerald. So I'll be sharing a lot about emeralds a little bit later in the show after we listen to the interview. And of course, as always, I will be taking your calls. This is a live call-in radio show for free crystal mini readings and oracle card readings. If you want me to pull a card for you for the new year, just give me a call. And the number to call is 714-816-4628. Be sure to press the number 1 on your dial pad, because that raises your arm in the air, and that way I know that you want a mini reading, or you want to share your thoughts on the show or on crystals in general. Whatever. I look forward to talking to you. And again, that number is 714-816-4628. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest and book that they did, what we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes. Lucas Sosa is the illustrator. Now, the Kabbalion, you could say this book has been around, since the Middle Ages, right? We could say that. We know it's at least been around since the 20th century. And it's never been illustrated. It's available like online, on Amazon, the older version, that same text has just been floating around for a really long time. And there's no illustration. Lucas Sosa illustrated it. And, the thing, each chapter is accompanied by an image whose graphic is kind of archetypal and gives a sort of artistic representation of the work and the work possessed in that chapter, what that chapter is about. And they're kind of like these interesting optical illusions he's created with his illustrations, and they give you a better, they give you a better visualization of how what you're reading sort of fits into the universe, So it's really kind of a fascinating thing. This came out from O Books again in December 2022. Big shout out to John Hunt Publishing for sending me a copy and hooking me up with Lucas in Alberto. Lucas, he studied at the Martin A. Malharo School of Visual Arts as a graphic designer in 2007. He also participated in samples of visual arts called Usina at Mar del Plata, both in illustration and design during the years 2002 and 2003. And he lives in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And so does the writer, his partner in crime, Alberto Asla. And Alberto is a professor and what they call a licenciado in history at the Universidad Nacional de Mar del Plata in Argentina. And he teaches medieval history. He's also a self-taught connoisseur of esoteric studies and a practitioner of yoga and meditation and of I Ching studies, and a student also of the Akashic Records. So, you know, this modern version of the Kybalion, I guess you could say is a classic of Hermeticism. I think a lot of people would characterize it that way, esoteric literature. The book rich in symbolism. It's got a narrative. And at the same time, you know, it's really accessible. It's a very sort of, you know, I don't want to say it's too simple, but it is, you know. So I think that, you know, that kind of complex ideas combined with like sort of, you know, simple way of expressing them is maybe what's made it, you know, kind of endure for so long and made people so curious about it. And so I think it was really kind of brilliant to do an illustrated version or to create, you know, unique, I would say more modern, because when I got the book, I thought I would see like old, you know, like old style illustration, I guess, you know, like maybe you'd see in like an illuminated manuscript from the Middle Ages, something like that. But no, he went a different direction, and it's really fascinating. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play again about 20 minute, a little over 19 minute excerpt from the long interview I did with Alberto Asla and Lucas Sosa, and that long full version will be premiering later today on YouTube right after the show on the Pterodactyl Experience channel on YouTube. So here we go, Alberto Asla and Lucas Sosa. And Alberto is he talked through most of it. Lucas says very little, but you know what he says is powerful.
It's difficult to describe a book which is part of a very ancient tradition and philosophy. So to describe a book is like to do something new, but at the same time is something old. So
right.
It was really hard to us when we decide to realize the book, because originally the book is it's without illustration. So mm-hmm. to find a way to connect both for us was completely hard, because we don't like to use the classical images and for instance, Akif or I don't know, Adore, whatever. We decide to use images or pictures that are being connected with the text itself.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's why you can understand the images if you don't read the book.
Right. You know, that's interesting. So this book, and Alberto, you're a medieval history professor, right?
Yes.
in your regular job? Did you?
Yes.
Were you familiar with the Kabbalion? Were you familiar with this book? It really, what are we to think of it? This is 2022 right now, you know, and this episode of There's a Rock for That is airing January 2023. We feel so far removed from it. What even attracted it enough to you to want to present it to a modern audience?
Well, first place, because I am always be interested in those kind of in those kind of knowledge, you know, spiritual knowledge, esoteric knowledge in the way sense, not in the bad sense, of course. And of course, the also are related with my period, my study in medieval history. But to me, this is like something to be close to my soul. In that way, you know, there are in some year, in parts of my life, I have some personal problems, so I decided to work with some people, and I discovered the Kabbalion in a different way. In this point, not just like a book, normal book,
right.
No, like a book, you can't open doors or windows you chose to be a different person. And the most relevant is to understand your own divinity.
To understand your own divinity. Now, I have to ask, how is it, you know, I don't feel like the Kabbalion is a book that comes to mind right away for people. You know, I don't, you know, they're not advertising, like, go read this book. Well, hopefully they're advertising your book, you know, this version of it. But when we're younger and stuff, and, you know, you're both from Argentina, right? How popular or how accessible are Hermetic texts in this day and age, and especially when we're younger, and usually it's the church from somewhere that's trying to do those same things that you look to this kind of book for. You know, usually they're trying to implant those ideas in us, how we're supposed to think. So how did you even connect with all this?
Well, I would speak shortly, and then I will let my friend speak in later. I know the Kabbalion by myself, actually, because when I was in the high school, I like to go to the library, municipal library, and I read everything, literature, esoteric things, whatever. I don't care. I read. In that moment, I read, of course, in a my mind rationally, and I say, yeah, it's a good book. It's some hard. I don't know if true in that way. Now, of course, it's absolutely true. But I don't have also those influence of the churches, the religions. No, I don't. I am completely free about that. I follow a personal line, which is the Indian traditions, if you like, and a practitioner of yoga. And so I have an open mind to read that. And in Argentina, it's not common to find the Kabbalion. However, in, I suppose, 5 or 6 years, they show many editions of the Kabbalion into the bookshops, which is incredible. We have not any idea about that. Even there are not edition and with images, not like us, but also it's part, it's quite interesting that in 2022, 2023, Dickie Valiant still in the sales of the bookshop. So that's what I can think about the Dickie Valiant and my experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you look at that, something to say about.
Well, what makes the addition that, that the two of you did so different are the illustrations. And Lucas, can you talk about your approach to this? Because I think I was expecting, you know, I was expecting it to look medieval. I was expecting it to look like, you know, those beautiful 12th century and even older illuminated manuscripts that, that you can find from that era when we think this, this book came out again, I guess is one way to look at it. Why did you do the type of illustrations that you did, and can you talk about that and tell people what they have to look forward to within these pages?
It's very difficult to answer that. Will you imagine drawing the universe? Will you do that? We try to represent with these images.
These are huge ideas to try to illustrate, you know, like these hermetic principles. So I love the way that you made it very accessible. It's not a complicated alchemical illustration that we're looking at where we think like, well, what are these things?
We represent emotions and feelings with this, with as images.
I think that even those images and feelings will not be the same for everyone. You can read the book and you will feel and you will have some emotions completely different that we have or something else. That's the that's what we try to do. Not just a simple image and they say, ah, yes, it's the sun, yes, it's the moon, yes, it's the star. No, we don't want that. We want that people really had a commitment with the book. Not just with the book, but also with his own soul. It's class, it's relevant, it's much more, it's absolutely relevant that people can't understand that they are light, they are a divinity inside. So no matter what you chose, for instance, you can be you can study the Givalion, you can study the Gnostics, you can study the Taoists, whatever you want, but all are the same. Inside us exists the true divinity. No matter what path, all paths have the same end, to know each other, to know itself. And that is the play that we decided to do. That way we work for at least 5-6 years.
Wow. How long it took? 6 years?
Yes.
And
we know from high school, but we start to work the book 6 years. So more than 20 years of friendship. So imagine that.
That's amazing. That's wonderful, actually, you know, and there's a sense of that, you know, connection, because the illustrations do really help. You know, I think that most people, you know, if we encounter this book, we hear about it when we're studying esotericism or we're studying hermeticism, you know, and you can find
book, you know, various ways. You know, you can buy a copy of something on Amazon, or you can just find the text, you know. If I'm honest, the one issue I have always had that's been difficult for me to get into some of these Hermetic texts is the idea of Hermes, the thrice great. You know, I'm like, did he exist? You know, what is this about? You know, how can I read a book by somebody who didn't possibly live? You know, how did he write this book? And it's like, yeah. You know, how do we get beyond that? How do we kind of like jump over that and then get to the stuff that we can really embrace?
Well, yes, we have some similar ideas at the moment. We say Hermes Trismegistus, or the name that you want. Of course, we don't know if that exists. We don't know anything about him. So actually, the book was publishing in early 20th century, and by some specialists say that one of the authors was William Atkinson, which is, but they are not clear who are the author. But the truth is that Egbalion have some Hermetic principles from those, of course, the Hermetists, but it's a mix from other traditions. That way I say, yes, no matter what tradition you chose, the Egbalion is a good handbook for that ancient knowledge, you know, because the seven principles that have the book, which is the principle of mentalism, the principle of correspondence, the principle of vibration, the principle of polarity, the principle of rhythm, the principle of cause and effect, and the principle of generation work at the same time inside us and in all nature. So, when you read the book and think in Hermes, people must to think much more than Hermes in the context, in the cultural context. That is what creates the atmosphere of those principles. If you can, for instance, if you can read the Mahabharata, you must to have in mind how the Indian society is.
You're right.
If you read the Bhagavad Gita or the Tao Te Ching, you must to sink into a culture and society. So that crazy idea of in 21st century read a book with some ancient tradition and still working, and use the word work because it's like the ocean who is with the rocks, you know, slowly, very slowly, and work quite slowly to disappear. And disappear what? Disappear the shadow which is inside from our eyes.
That's a beautiful analogy. I think that it is what is kind of remarkable. You're right that, you know, you have these ancient ideas and they're still applicable today. They seem timeless. They seem like universal truths. And, you know, we've had a few iterations of some of these ideas come out in various ways. I think a lot of people are familiar with The Secret, you know, that made a big splash, you know, some years ago. Do you see a connection with modern esotericism to this? Is this like one of the foundations it's built on, what's contained in the Egbalion?
Well, yes. Not, I think that there is a connection, but kind of. For instance, you know The Secret, the book, The Secret.
Yeah.
Well, The Secret is based mostly in the Kybalion. It's just like a copy. However, what The Secret doesn't say is that exists something more. It's fine. It's all right. My mind creates everything. It's right. Yes. My soul creates, of course. But that implies that we must to accept also that if we think something, that what we think have an effect, and sometimes the people forget that, forget the effects that they think. For instance,
right.
I have $1 million, you know, for instance. Mm-hmm. But say an example, of course. People say, I have $1 million, have a big house, many cars, but you know what effects could happen with all that. And The Secret doesn't show us. The Kybalion, yes.
Is this the only thing that you guys are going to do? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, other Hermes thrice great that you can work on. What's next?
Well,
the Pomander?
We are working in other books, actually. And, of course, under Secret, but we are working on in some books about classical literature. And also, yes, and 19th century, most of them. Of course, we are on other spiritual world and spiritual books. And all the books we're going to be illustrated by my friend. And
yay!
What you say, thank you. It's a very, very glad to talk with you. We are a lovely person.
Thank you.
Hello? 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 I can't hear anything. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear anything. Oh,